Welcome, Buckeye fans, to another edition of the 360 with Ohio State Athletics podcast. It's presented by Kroger. The goal of this podcast is to talk to every single head coach around the Block O, and we continue that journey by checking out men's hockey. That's right. The head coach is Steve Rolick. Steve has been the head coach for more than a decade. He has six 20-win seasons. They made the Frozen Four back in 2018. That was a special year. And he's approaching 200 wins with Ohio State. Now, I've gotten to talk a lot of hockey with Steve through the years, so we have developed a rapport doing interviews and chatting about his team. And I think you're going to enjoy the conversation that we had. He is a Minnesota native, so hockey runs in his blood. It's in his family. He went to school at University of Wisconsin, where he was a great player. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, think about all this guy has to offer to the game. We've got him here at Ohio State. He gets into his coaching career. He's on the staff at Ohio State, and before long, he's the head coach, and the rest is history. And they've had a nice start to the 2024-2025 season as well. So he was kind enough to invite me out to their hockey offices. They're lovely. They're right there at the Schottenstein Center. And Steve couldn't even wait to show off that sense of humor of his.
Well, I'm surprised you found us. And they let you in with security around here. But, yeah, we're glad to have you over here.
Yeah, so, look, you and I have been talking for a few years now since we've been doing interviews on the winter edition of Buckeye Roundtable. Once January rolls around, folks can hear that interview or hear the show most Mondays from 6 to 8 o'clock. And congrats on the success to start the 2024-25 season. I know there's been some ups and downs the last few years, but we know what a good hockey coach you are. We know what a good program this is. 12 seasons, 13th season or 12th season, Steve?
Well, 12 is head coach, 15th overall here at Ohio State.
Yeah. So many, many years, and nice to see the way that you guys are playing on the ice. What do you think led to that with this off season and the build up to the year?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, like I always say, surround yourself with good people, good things happen, and I'm very, very blessed to be around some great staff, and then you can't do it without good players. So, you know, I like our group. Each year now with the way college athletics is, it seems like you got a lot of new guys. I think we got 25 new guys over the last two years. Mm. So different personalities every year. I like our group. They work hard. They love coming to the rink, and let's hope that continues.
Steve, let me go into that with what you just mentioned, because that is – the biggest thing with college athletics these last 2 years, how everything is changing, how there's going to be some payment structures set up for players. We've been in the NIL era, though none of us quite know how exactly that operates or what the rule book is for it. But how have you adjusted as a coach to life as it's going to be from this point forward in college athletics?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You have to adjust and adapt, and I think that's the biggest thing. We might not all agree with it. Things are certainly a lot different than what they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to stay with it, and NIL and everything's trickled down to every sport right now, to be honest with you. And, you know, I think everybody's focus is kind of probably on the big two sports with football and basketball, but it's happening, and it's happening in our sport. And, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Ohio State does with their programs here and how things trickle down and where each team fits, because then you got to put a plan together on where you fall and then accordingly kind of where you fit in the league you're in. And, you know, we're in a league with the Dodgers and the Yankees and teams like that.
That's
right. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to obviously find out where things are going to be at. And then, like I said, you got to adapt and adjust.
Dodgers, Yankees, you get a chance to watch any of that series?
A little bit.
The Freddie Freeman series.
Yeah, I mean, to see what happened in the fifth inning there against the Yankees, I mean, 99 out of 100 times that would never have happened, but it did, and that's why you play the game.
Steve, let's rewind. Let's go back to where it all began. One of the things I love talking to the Ohio State coaches about, I mean, you're here coaching a sport that you fell in love with at some point in time. I look at our connection with the sports that we attach ourselves to as almost a love story. And whether that came from our parents, our grandparents, or friends at school, It's just in the culture of the state that we grew up in. I have a little bit of an idea about that, knowing that, that hockey and their passion for it is well documented in Minnesota. But take us back to a young Steve Rolick and why hockey became the thing for you. When you picked up the first stick or laced up the skates for the first time.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I mean, you know, the two most important people in my life were mom and dad. And my dad grew up in a small farm town of 700 people. You know, they had no clue what hockey was. But when he moved up to the city's St. Paul area to take care of a teaching job and a coaching job, when he moved up to that area and eventually married my mom and had kids, well, all these kids were skating outside. All these kids were skating in driveways on the ponds. And he kind of looked and said, well, we better be one of these, you know, kids and have Steve try to put these skates on, even though they had no idea what hockey was. But when all the neighbors are doing it, and I was blessed to be around some terrific friends growing up, and they all played the sport. And we were like a band of brothers from the time I stepped on the ice when I was three until today. Hockey's been that important to me in my whole life. So it's kind of been a dream come true. In Minnesota, you're born with skates in your crib. I found out here in Ohio, you're born with a football in your crib. So I did grow up in the state of hockey, and I was really, really blessed.
Do you remember going to your first hockey game?
Well, I do remember going to my first hockey games, and because my dad was in education, and he was at Hill High School, and Hill Murray High School is one of the most prestigious high school hockey schools in the state of Minnesota. So I grew up just dreaming about playing high school hockey at Hill Murray, and I went to every game. Every time I could go, I was at their games, and obviously my dad, you know, thank goodness for him and allowing me to drag around with him because I just fell in love with the sport. But going to Aldridge Arena on the east side of St. Paul, that was my home and that was my life. And just to be around that sport like that since I was 3 years old is incredible.
I love that. You know, it's great to hear you say that about high school sports, how that's where it started. I too had that connection with my dad going to high school basketball games. I grew up in a part of Virginia where it was a little bit of a tough trip to get into Washington, D.C. to go to professional sports. But right there in a 5-minute drive away, you can go and see some great athletics watching it at the high school level. And when you're a kid, that really – that gets you going, doesn't it? That instills that passion in you because – Maybe you're 10 years old when you're sitting there and you're just salivating. You're thinking about 5-6 years or so, how I'm going to go to this school and I'm going to put that jersey on and I'm going to play. That had to be you as a kid.
Hill Murray, I mean, those guys were my heroes. You know, I was fortunate to go to the Minnesota High School Hockey Tournament since I can remember, 18,000 people at the games. And my dad would say, here's your seat, sit in that seat.
Wow.
Don't move from your seat. And I got to sit there and watch four games in front of 18,000 people there. And when I wasn't there, I was at home with the program and writing down stats and understanding players and dreaming about playing for Hill Murray High School and playing for a state tournament. And that was my life.
So take us to when those days did come around. And then we've got the player, Steve Rolick, and giving it everything that you have, blood, sweat, and tears for this game, and now you're out there doing it and you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was fortunate to be on the varsity as a sophomore, and we made it to the state tournament all three of my years. And we were a private Catholic school. We were one of the most hated schools in the state of Minnesota. So
sure, you were like Duke.
Yeah,
right?
When we stepped on the ice, we had about 1,000 people cheer. When the other team stepped out, 17,000 people cheered. But that's what you loved. My junior and senior year, we lost in the state finals, championship game back-to-back, which was heartbreaking. But, you know, to be a part of that, and then eventually full circle, I ended up coaching Hill Murray for 5 years.
Yep.
When I finished with Pittsburgh Penguins, I got to go back and coach in a few state tournaments. So it was surreal. And again, that set me on my path to college hockey as a coach. My former college coach that recruited me as a player ended up hiring me as his assistant coach when he got a job. So just amazing how things work out.
You know, we'll get to your career as a player at Wisconsin, but that had to be incredible to get that opportunity, the prestige, just the passion for the sport at your high school. and then you're the head coach one day when your playing career wraps up. And was that just the quickest, easiest decision? Did you have to dwell on that? Because I got to imagine it's tough when an athlete's playing career days is over, coming to grips with that and then transitioning to the next thing. How did that decision go for you?
Yeah, it's a really good point by you there because, you know, like anybody, I thought I was going to play forever.
Yeah,
You know, you find out it's a business. You know, you play four exhibition games with Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr and Stevens and all these Trache and Mullen and all these Hall of Famers. You find out which one of these things just doesn't belong there, and that happened to be me. But when I finished, I was 23 years old, so I was still young, and I actually went to River Falls University and got a coaching minor. It took like 20 credits one semester. Because then all of a sudden I was thinking about coaching, and I happened to finish that semester, and ironically, the Hill Murray coach left. And you know what? I was fortunate. They hired me at 23, which was amazing.
That's crazy, right?
And I made a zillion mistakes, but my passion and you know what I loved was being around these kids and trying to help them reach a dream that I was able to do. And that's why coaching is such a passion for me. Every time I talk, my hair stands up on my arms. And To coach Hill Murray at 23 for 5 years was incredible.
What was that like with your colleagues, with other educators, coaches, administrators, to come in that green, that young? I mean, you had a brilliant playing career at Wisconsin, though. Clearly, I mean, you played at the school, so you had that cachet. You were drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins, for God's sakes. So you had something, but I have to imagine there maybe were some looks in the halls, right, at a point in time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, here's a guy with a serious mullet
back
in the day finishing up playing. And I had the pedigree, obviously, of playing and experience, but certainly very green and never coached. So to entrust me with one of the most prestigious high school hockey programs is a little bit, I think people were a little bit sideways maybe. But the one thing I told them, I was going to give them everything I got. I was honest up front, and I was in it for the guys. Like I said, I made a lot of mistakes, but you know what? I made it for the right reasons with a lot of passion, learned a lot of things. And I just tried to make a little bit of difference in each one of those kids' lives, be it on the rink, through what I experienced and trying to help these kids. And to this day, I still talk to a lot of those kids I've coached. And to this day, you know, they just remember how passionate I was about what I believed in, what I was trying to do to help these young men.
Well, that the passion that you speak about, that brings me to something I read about you when you were a player at Wisconsin. There was a certain award that you won when you were in school for your team. But I'm just wondering, to go back to when you were at Hill Murray coaching, how quickly, like into that first season, did you kind of develop or figure out who I'm going to be as a coach, like what my style is, how I'm going to coach, how I'm going to communicate to my players? How long did that take you to figure out?
You know, I think I figured it out pretty quickly. Who I was, what I wanted to do, how I wanted to coach was be hard, fair, and honest. And these guys, they knew exactly where I was coming from. And at the time, I could speak on experience. They could understand, here's a guy who just played in the NHL this past year. He's made it to the highest level. He's won a national championship, two-time captain at Wisconsin. He's won here at Hill Murray. He's played here. So I had that behind me.
Yeah.
But being upfront, being hard but fair, and doing it with the best interest of them, of trying to help these young men become the best they can be, I think is how I related myself, and that's how I approached it.
You were a good player. I want to know your opinion on what kind of player you were, and the award you won was for best competitor, most competitive player for the Wisconsin Badgers. That seems like a nice award to have. Like that's a respect award right there.
Yeah, you know what? And I learned that from my mom and dad. And that's been me since I was a little kid. Growing up in the neighborhood with older boys, trying to compete. I was never the best player in any sport. But I learned very quickly, if you wanted to play with all these great kids and great players, I had to work harder than they did.
Yeah.
And I got cut from teams. Like I tell my kids, I got cut from teams. They think it was easy. That's hard. And but the one thing you can do is outwork kids. And you know what? When it came down to it, at the end of the day, I tell my kids, no matter if I was playing baseball, soccer, hockey, football, whatever I played, people didn't want to go against me. Not that I was the best player, but just I would never quit. And I would chew their ankle off if I had to. And I think that's why my teammates and every team I was on, I was a captain, because it didn't matter about points for me. It mattered about team, and it mattered about winning as a team. And I'd do anything to get that.
All right, so how have you figured out through the years to coach that? I imagine that's got to be really difficult because we see players that have a lot of skill and a lot of talent, but maybe they struggle with that. And then for guys that are the hard workers, right, we almost put them – there's a stigma about it, like the Aaron Kraft syndrome. Like, oh, he's the diving on the floor, getting the loose balls. But how do you try to coach that into players that you see need that push?
Yeah, sorry, communicate by my actions. And talk to these guys about results.
Yeah.
If you want to go out on a if I want to take my best player and put him out and start him alone in a hockey game and just go, okay, it's just you against the five on the other team, I don't know if we'll be very successful. Best skilled guy in the rink, but if he's by himself, he's going to fail. And I try to come across that way, that we win and lose as a group. We win and lose as a team. Yes, you need your high-end guys, but you need your glue guys. And, you know, championship teams all need that. And Florida Panthers just won the Stanley Cup. Billy Zito is a good friend of mine. He's the GM there. And he talked about his leader, Barkov, who's one of the most talented players in the NHL. But
yeah,
he does all the little things and not afraid. Take away my points, I'll do what it takes to win. Block shots, reload, play good defense. And when you bring players in that see your best player doing that, you're going to win championships. And that's all Florida won.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just something that you can show the best players. If you're starting from a certain point where you're bigger, faster, a little bit more skilled, if they can be shown how to do that, you're talking about, you know, all conference. You're talking about all-star level player. You're talking about maybe you have a chance to be one of the best to ever play this game if you can put those two together. So someone, a coach that can show them how to do that, can be really valuable.
Yeah, ironically, I got the article right here, you know, and I talked to my leadership group and highlighted, you know, how the Florida Panthers became the toast of the NHL.
Oh, really?
And it all,
that's in the next meeting coming up here?
Yeah, we talked about it already, but okay. I mean, when you go through it and I highlight it, it talks about selflessness, and it talks about, you know, the captain doing all the little things and the team buying in, selfless. A lot of things we talk about in our room. You know, the best team in the world did it, and that's why they won a Stanley Cup.
Steve, what is it like coaching Ohio State hockey in this town with so much going on?
You know what? One, very thankful, very blessed, surreal to have an opportunity to coach hockey, any sport, at this great university. To be a part of the greatest athletic department across college sports is surreal to me. And coaching hockey, I think, in a community that's growing. You think back at when the Blue Jackets played Tampa Bay in the playoffs a few years back.
How exciting it was that, right?
This town was on its ears. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. There's a hockey town here. There's hockey people here.
Oh, yeah.
You see what our women's team's done. You see the crowds at the Blue Jackets games, you know, and maybe they're not in a position where they're winning all the time, but the crowds are still there. So to me, it's a growing sport in this town, which excites me. This was a big reason why I came to Ohio State, was Big Ten hockey, being a part of Big Ten hockey, trying to do something here at Ohio State that's never been done. That's why I'm here, and to see the people that are so passionate about this university and to be a part of that, for me, is amazing.
You guys have hooked me up with tickets in the past, and it's so fun to come out to a game. And boy, when you get an Ohio State Michigan hockey game, it is something special. You feel the rivalry, and there's just something about those uniform combinations and everything that you just said. I mean, we're a northern state anyway. I mean, I know it's tough to compare, right? Growing up in Minnesota, certain states, Indiana, basketball state, right? Tobacco Road, basketball, Kansas, that, but Minnesota, Wisconsin, hockey. Like, it's just, it's that way. But I feel like in Ohio, we've got this chance to be just such a great blend, a great mix. It's just sports are in the culture of Ohioans. And everything you said, I mean, my son, one of his best friends, has been playing hockey since he was 3 or 4 years old. Tried to get my son into it. Didn't really gravitate towards it, right? It's never too late, though, for a 13-year-old. If he wants to lace him up and get a stick, I'd be happy to do it for you. But even my son, like, hockey season starts, and he's asking me questions about it. When can we go to a game? So that passion is there, and I think that's so cool. And the program that you have run here, you've been here for such a long time. You must know all the little tricks to try to, you know, maximize and, you know, get the word out about Ohio State hockey. And, you know, it's a fun thing to watch. You guys have a long season, too, by the way.
Longest of any sport. No one realizes, first game's right around October 1st, and you go till April 1st. So,
yeah,
it's a grind. It's a long season. But to your point about the passion here for athletics, I think you hit it on the head. Like, there's something for everyone here. And when you walk around this university, and I go to coaches' meetings, and I see the best coach in men's soccer, the best coach in men's football, the best coach in women's hockey, the best coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And to hear them speak and to hear them talk and to see their athletes, that's what excites you every day, to be around that passion and that excellence, and it pushes you to be the best.
What was your other favorite sport growing up?
It's a good question. I played everything, which I would rather see a lot of guys do today, because I know it's so blinded down to one sport now a lot.
Right.
Which
we have to specialize. Society tells us we have to specialize.
I played everything. I love baseball. I thought baseball was probably my second sport. Played center field and loved to hit batting practice and do all those things. But I loved playing sports. I loved being outside. I loved to fish. Like growing up in Minnesota, I had a chance to do all those things. And my parents and family allowed me to do that.
Steve, what is the best thing about being a coach?
To me, I it's pretty easy to me. Best thing about being a coach is every day I got a chance to make a difference in somebody's life. Every day I got an opportunity to hopefully help somebody. Is it one guy? Is it two guys? Is it five guys? I'm not just talking hockey. I'm talking, life. I'm talking teaching moments. I'm talking family teaching moments. Is really, truly what I enjoy most about being a coach.
Yeah, that's what it is all about, right? I mean, every single day, it's cool that I see you going that extra mile, and you're printing off articles and taking that to the team. I'm sure you see stuff in the real world, and you try to incorporate that back into the sport that you're coaching, and it's little things. And it's always a constant evolution, right? And no matter how many years you've been doing this, there's always things that you can learn to bring back into the job, because you don't plan on going anywhere. You've been coaching this long. This is what you do, right? At a certain point, this is who I am. This is what I do.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And this is why I love what I do. And to build on what you just asked before, it's like we just had a skate with the Buckeyes after Saturday night's game where all our players on the ice. And you don't think nothing of it, right? You talk to the guys after, and, hey, there's a lot of little kids, lots of families.
Yeah.
Get out for 30 minutes, do your thing. What happens? Yesterday, I get an email, full-page email, from a parent. Just talk about how Joe Dunlop came over and changed an 8-year-old's life.
Love it.
About what a Buckeye hockey player is, and taking the time to skate with him and being around him. I mean, to me, Shelley and I just talked about it yesterday with this email, and it's like, there you go. So I called Joe and I said, you don't understand what you just did to that young 8-year-old with the skate with the Buckeyes. He's like, what do you mean, coach? I go, the time you spent, what you did, your interaction has changed them. And to me, that is so powerful.
It's great. I mean, that young man's going to be playing hockey, or at least he's going to be a hockey fan for the rest of his life. because of something like that. And it only took a couple of minutes or so. I love seeing athletes that find the time, even if it's just eye contact, you know, just if it's, you know, between the whistles or whatever, and someone's looking at them and it's positivity going both ways, just a little look and a point like I got this. Those moments are what I live for. Put that stuff on social media. You know,
that's culture, right? And that's what you try to do when you walk in this building, and it's a thank you to everybody, the respect to security, the people at the airport, the people at the hotel. That's the things we talk about. People just want to see the wins and losses and what you do on the ice. But seriously, we talk so much about all those little intangibles. To me, that's why you coach.
All right. Steve Rolick, the head men's hockey coach, has been so nice with his time. He's got a lot of stuff to do coaching his team. I leave you with this. What is the best thing about being a Buckeye?
Having a chance to play the team up north, and, you know, from the outdoor game with 50,000 people there 2 years ago to every time we lace them up here to when we go up north and play them there, we're the most hated team. You can't beat that rivalry. You cannot beat that feeling. And to me, you got to be involved in it to understand it. And I think you know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. We'll find out on Thanksgiving weekend with our football program, all those kind of things. So to me, that's pretty amazing.
Steve, outstanding conversation. Thanks a lot for doing it for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And once again, a special thanks to the head men's hockey coach, Steve Rolick, for joining us on the podcast today. 360 with Ohio State Athletics, and it is presented by Kroger. Until next time, I'm Timmy Hall, filling in for Matt Andrews.